Continuing on our sports theme and switching to Megan Hart, our sports reporter for the for Wisconsin Public Radio. It's great to have her back with us to talk what's going on in college and professional sports around the state, and we'll probably talk a little bit about what's going on outside the state as well as we visit with her. Love to have you join the conversations. What questions do you have about the positive Packer COVID test? What are your thoughts on their loss last Sunday? You can join in at 800-642-1234, or you can send us an email to ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. And Megan Hart, welcome back. Good to have you with us.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, Dennis Semrau was on, and while he was on, he'd gotten a note, some breaking news that the Badger football team will not be playing this weekend. And I think the report said that there were 21 positive tests of something like 10 players and 11 coaches, or maybe it was 11 players and 10 coaches. I can't remember which. So no.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's tough to keep track.
Yeah. So, you know, you wonder how this shutdown affects how players are going to play and be able to play once they do get started again, because they're not allowed into, I don't think, into the venues where they can at least, you know, do the conditioning and so forth.
Yeah, it will have a big impact. I think the latest numbers today were that currently there are 27 active cases since October 24th, the day after they opened the season. And that includes 15 players. And the Big Ten and Barry Alvarez and head coach Paul Christ have both, you know, said that they really they support the Big Ten's stricter safety protocols. The Big Ten is the only conference that requires players who test positive to miss 21 full days, and that's 14 days to make sure that they're no longer infectious, but then also 7 days to monitor their health and especially their cardiovascular health after having had the virus. So anytime a player tests positive, it has a huge effect on the team in a way it maybe doesn't for some of the other teams outside the Big Ten that have had big outbreaks.
Yeah, and I think if the Michigan game does go on, the at least a couple of the quarterbacks won't be able to play. We're probably looking at maybe the third or fourth person in line, and so and then you know, offensive lineman or whatever, whoever has it, you know, it doesn't look very promising for the Badgers sports, football sports at least.
No, it doesn't. Unfortunately, it was kind of the, it was a great win to open the season. The Badgers looked so good, and Graham Mertz had such a good game. And then it was unfortunately kind of the worst case scenario to see that it's possible players played with, you know, while contagious. That's the easiest way to spread it. And I think, you know, unfortunately the nature, because you mentioned there was a positive COVID test for the Packers, but I think the nature of the college team where a lot of the players, they said, live together and they spend so much time together, these outbreaks really can mount pretty quickly. And it's hard after seeing how well they played and how much potential they had this season. Actually, in the most recent AP poll, even though they missed their game last weekend, having only played one game so far, they were still ranked 10th. But of course, the most important thing is their health and safety, and that's what's echoed by the athletic department. But yeah. But it is tough. You know, there's a lot going on right now in the sports world and outside the sports world, and I think, you know, having a good Badgers team is a really kind of a nice distraction, and unfortunately, we don't have that right now.
Yeah, you just wonder what happened. Were there false positive or false negative tests? That, you know, how this could happen, because, you know, they were being pretty darn careful, and the players were as well. So you wonder what happened. And then here we have A.J. Dillon. For the Packers, I believe it was A.J. Dillon, a running back, that tested positive for the Packers. How's that going to affect the game with the 49ers?
Yeah, it's tough news during a short week since they are supposed to play Thursday night. Dillon did play Sunday against the Vikings, but yesterday head coach Matt LaFleur said that they're still preparing for Thursday's game as normal. They're still going to have players in the building this week. There were a couple people that it's been reported that they've been added to they're being monitored as particularly close contacts of Dillon's, and that's rough because one of them is Jamal Williams, who is another running back like Dillon, and of course the Packers starting running back Aaron Jones has been out with an injury, so that could cause some problems Thursday. But for the most part, that you know, they're preparing pretty much like normal. Preparing on a short week is always a little bit different than it is for preparing for a normal game when you would have a full week's rest. But Matt LaFleur said it's pretty much full steam ahead for Thursday.
And linebacker Kamal Harris, I think, was the other person who was kind of held back. So I wonder what happened to the Pack last Sunday. I mean, Dalvin Cook is a good runner, but it seems like recent games, good runners become outstanding runners when they're running against the Packers.
Yeah, going into the season, especially after last year's NFC Championship game where the 49ers were just did whatever they wanted on the ground. I think one of the big questions was how the Packers would improve their run defense, and they have still struggled this season. And Dalvin Cook is a great running back, one of the best in the league when he's healthy. But there's a lot of holes. They struggle to make tackles. I think coming into the season, really across the board, it's been a great year for offenses in the NFL. And I think, you know, part of that was sort of the strange off season and not having preseason games. But at this stage, the Packers are really at a point where they need to focus on that run defense. And that's something that Matt LaFleur talked about a lot after the game is how that's going to be a focus moving forward.
How do you think that's going to look on Thursday? Do you think they're going to have time to even make any the changes that they might need to make?
You know, I'm not sure. I know, I'm sure that they will try to do, you know, whatever they can. Unfortunately for San Francisco, but fortunately for the Packers, the 49ers have just had such an up and down year, and Jimmy Garoppolo and George Kittle, who are two of their key offensive players, are both out with injuries. And so they may not be as dangerous of an offense as they could have faced this week. So maybe it'll be a good chance to sort of get their legs back under them and focus on that run defense.
Or just have whoever replaces Garoppolo hand it off to their their back and, and just run 40 times and pass six.
It's tough to watch when you know that they're going to hand it to Dalvin Cook and it's probably going to work out for them. It's tough to watch as a fan, but it is hard to make those adjustments in the game, especially when it, isn't necessarily not having somebody there, but just missing the tackle.
Yeah. You did a story last week, I think, about daily rapid testing isn't necessarily going to stop outbreaks in sports. Talk about why that was the case and your story.
Yeah, I think, we have certainly seen it with what's going on with Badgers football. That was kind of the impetus for doing the story. The Big Ten, when they decided that they were actually going to cancel fall football back in August, there were a lot of concerns over how they could play safely. Then they reversed that decision in September, and a lot of sources said that had to do with the availability of daily rapid antigen testing. President Trump even worked with the Big Ten to help make that possible for them. And so it was thought to be maybe a game changer as we go into, as we went into Big Ten football season. But it does have limitations, and it certainly is a very valuable tool, but I think it's important to understand what those limitations are. We also saw it with the White House when they had an outbreak there, because the rapid tests are designed primarily, experts have told me, to be able to confirm positive cases in people who are experiencing symptoms. They're not designed to be able to screen asymptomatic individuals, so they're less sensitive than the molecular PCR tests, which are what most people would get if they go get tested at one of the National Guard testing sites, for example. It takes longer to get those results. And so they were, people were hoping, especially that the rapid testing would mean it that players who do test positive in these rapid tests, because they're being tested every day, it wouldn't mean as many other players or staff members have to sit out through contact tracing because they wouldn't have had as much time to come into contact with as many people. But when cases get missed with the antigen testing, we're still seeing problems where the virus is able to spread before it's picked up through that rapid testing. And it certainly is better than nothing at all, but it just isn't exactly what it was meant to be used for.
Yeah. And the Packers, I mean, we're sitting in a place where it's sort of a hot zone for COVID right now in the state. And how do they handle, I mean, does everybody just go home and try and stay safe? Or what are they, do they have anything special for players when they're not playing or when they're not in practice?
You know, that's something Matt LaFleur has talked about a little bit, just how much, and he talked about it, especially going into the bye week, how, you know, he's trying to come up with some things players could do that week, because especially players here who live on their own, it can be tough when you have kind of 2 weeks off. You're not seeing anyone socially, but it really does seem like it's just encouraging people to be careful. Fortunately, it's a little easier when you don't have to have, there are so many essential workers who are in situations where they have to be in contact with people who possibly have the virus. It's a little easier when you have, you know, a job where the league is able to take safety protocols like the NFL. But when I was working on the story about antigen testing, an expert that I spoke to from UCLA, who's a microbiologist there, said that he thinks he was speaking, you know, more about the Badgers, but that at some point officials really have to consider if, regardless of whether a team can contain and, you know, can get testing and contain infections effectively, if at some point there's a level of community spread that's just too high to justify playing sports, because it is such a critical situation here in Wisconsin right now.
Yeah, for sure. Well, we've got lots more to talk about with Megan Hart, our sports reporter for the Wisconsin Public Radio, and I hope you will join in with your questions. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234, or shoot us an email to ideas@wpr.org. We'll take a look at the news, find out what else is in store for us here, and then we will be back. I'm Larry Mueller for the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. Thanks for spending some of your day with us on the Ideas Network. And thanks, too, to our WPR sports reporter, Megan Hart, back with us to talk about the latest developments in Wisconsin sports. Love to have you join the conversation. What questions do you have about the positive Packer COVID test, or thoughts about their loss last Sunday, or maybe about college sports? Give a call at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or you can send us an email to ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. Megan, you know, preparations have begun for college basketball. What do you hear from the Marquette's Golden Eagles?
Yeah, college basketball is just weeks away, actually. Marquette is they're starting practices again tomorrow. It's certainly been a different year for sports all around, and you could say that for college basketball as well. Most teams, their schedules are still really taking shape. So Steve Wojciechowski, their head coach, said that the next few weeks are really going to just be a matter of it's all going to come down to how efficiently they can use the time they do have to get ready for the season. Of course, Marquette will be without Marcus Howard, who has been so important to that team the last few years. But we will see how they look. Right now, the plan is for them to play Wisconsin on December 4th, they announced. So we should get, it's coming quickly, but it's hard to say what the teams will look like given the strange offseason. The Badgers, though, are returning a lot of their key players from last year, and they looked so strong when the season came to that abrupt end and the Big Ten canceled their tournament. So it should be hopefully a fun basketball season for both teams.
Yeah, I think the Badgers might be starting 5 seniors, and that is always a good thing when you've got that many seniors that good that they're in a starting, they can be starting.
Yeah, definitely. It's unusual to have players of that quality returning all 4 years to play. So so far the team, Greg Gard, their head coach, is really focused on getting the team in shape. Conditioning has been a big focus so far, and he said a lot of that has to do with sort of how uncertain the schedule is right now. It could end up being a really packed schedule where they really need to be fit, so that's kind of been the focus going into this season. But after last year, they won a share of the Big Ten title. The ESPN actually ran a simulator where they sort of used a computer to simulate the March Madness, and Wisconsin was the winner of that. So, that bodes well. As long as the season can, of course, we've seen that playing any kind of sports during the time of coronavirus can be a challenge, as we've seen with the football team. I think if the season is able to take place and go smoothly, the Badgers have a really good chance to have a good year.
Are all the conferences planning to play this year? Do you know?
I don't know. I know that the Pac-12 is getting ready to play football. They're getting ready to start their football season. The Power Five conferences, I believe, are all going to try to play. But of course, in college sports, there's so many different conferences. It's hard to keep track of all of them. I believe some of them are not playing fall sports at all.
Let's talk about, let's switch to the Brewers for a few minutes and talk about that. Ryan Braun, the Brewers, they decided not to option him this year. Was that a surprise to you?
It wasn't a huge surprise. Going into the offseason, the Brewers general manager, David Stearns, has talked about how this last year was really tough for the team as a small market team. They make more money from ticket sales and concession sales and merchandise sales than they do from TV contracts. So he did sort of set the expectation that they're probably going to cut payroll this year and have to make some tough decisions going into the next season. It was a $15 million option that they declined to pick up for Braun. They'll still have to pay him a $4 million buyout, which I always think, it's tough because Braun has been such an important part of this team, played his whole career so far in Milwaukee. And so for sentimental reasons, you hate to see him go, but I always think as an athlete, that must be so nice to just get, to have $4 million basically for leaving. It's got to be the dream. But it is tough. He's 37. He missed a lot of time during the short season with back injuries. He had the worst batting average of his career so far. So I don't think it was a big surprise, but it is tough because he really is, has for so long been one of the faces of the franchise.
There's a couple of other guys, too, whose contracts went away. The guys that I kind of liked in a lot of ways, Jed Jerko and Eric Sogard, especially Sogard. Just a nice guy.
Yeah, Stearns said, I believe he said that there is a chance as the season gets closer and they sort of start to see what the picture looks like, that they want to keep the lines of communication open with those players, and it's possible that one or both could return.
Yeah, back to Braun for a minute. What are some of his career highlights in your mind for the Brewers?
He's had such a good career. I mean, it started early when he won Rookie of the Year in 2007, kind of set the tone for the rest of his career here in Milwaukee. Of course, he won MVP. He was a six-time All-Star. He has more home runs than any player in Brewers history. And then he has there's a bunch of other things where he's sort of second or third in the team's history. RBIs, extra base hits, he's second. And, of course, he was part of this team that's now gone to the postseason three consecutive years, which had never happened in team history before. And so the Brewers have really developed a winning culture, and I'm sure having him be such an important player for their team over the last 15 years has helped that.
Yeah. Just looking at the baseball in general, it there were some new rules that were put into place because of COVID, and you wonder how many of those are going to stay. I think the designated hitter probably is going to stay.
Yeah, there was so much talk about how sports would be able to take place early in the pandemic, and these leagues figured things out, and now it'll be interesting to see. I know the NBA is working through their offseason and when they're going to be able to restart and how it'll be different, and I'm sure Major League Baseball is doing the same thing. I think the expanded playoffs is a big question, but yeah.
I think that expanded too much there.
You know, I agree, although I will say that that Houston got in with a not-so-good record, and they still made a run for it. So that was kind of interesting to see. I agree. I think that one of the beauties of baseball is what you go through during the long regular season. And it's a true accomplishment to make the playoffs in Major League Baseball. I don't know that I would say that in every sport, but I enjoy the more condensed playoffs, but we'll see.
We'll see. And I was thinking about the seven inning doubleheaders. You look at a team like St. Louis, and I don't know how many they had, but but the seven-inning doubleheaders, probably that will go away, and there'll be nine. I don't think it made a lot of difference in terms of the length of the games anyway. But I'm not so sure about that. Well, you mentioned Bucks. Kyle Korver had spoke at Creighton recently about the experience of being in the Bucks locker room the afternoon they decided not to play in protest of the Jacob Blake shooting. What did he have to say about that?
Yeah, of course, on election day, I think it's important to talk about, just because in such a different way, sports have sort of merged into this fight for social justice. And here in Green Bay, where I live, people are voting at Lambeau Field. So I think it definitely makes sense to talk about that today. But he spoke at his alma mater and in a very candid conversation about what he's learned over the last few years. He wore Black Lives Matter on his jersey when the NBA restarted in the bubble. And so he talked about the fact that as a white player, he sometimes feels nervous stepping into these spaces where he's talking about these social issues, but that he feels like it's important for him to admit his own shortcomings, and maybe that will help other people realize, you know, what they don't know or they're uncomfortable thinking about or talking about. But he talked about that game specifically, and that game was such a touchstone moment that I'll remember sitting on my couch watching it on TV, waiting to cover the game. And there were so few reporters in the bubble, getting information about what was going on was a challenge. And And the team that was covering the game on TV did such a good job of keeping people informed, but also, talking about why the team was doing this. But Korver, he said that basically they were getting ready to play. There were not too many minutes left until they were expected on the court. But they were all sort of feeling heavy, knowing what had just happened in Kenosha. And this was after protesters were shot and killed as well. And so nobody's mind was really on the game. And then assistant coach Darvin Ham came in, and he has two sons who are in their 20s who live in the area in southeast Wisconsin. And he was clearly frustrated by what was happening. And then George Hill and Sterling Brown, two Bucks players, basically stood up and said they were not going to play, and that they understood if their teammates wanted to play. They weren't asking them to protest, but they just didn't feel like they could play that day. And they didn't think it was the right thing to do. And then the team all decided to stand together. And Korver said that tears were streaming down his face, but that as a white player, he felt like this was a moment where, he for so long didn't really know what to do and how to help in this fight. And this was something he could do to stand with his teammates. And so he made that choice. And then he said the players had to kind of figure out what was next, because they were expected on the court and they didn't want to just go. He said they didn't want to just go back to their hotels and play cards or play video games or something. So they stayed in the locker room. They called Governor Tony Evers. They called the lieutenant governor. They learned about the state legislature and legislation that was on the table to address issues in policing. And so they wanted to do something more than just not play. They called Jacob Blake's parents. He said that they were so gracious and so kind to the team. The whole team was just standing there on the phone crying. And it was an experience that I'm sure changed them, but also changed the sports world and changed the fans who were watching as well.
Well, and then, the result, too, was the Brewers then didn't play, and there were a lot of teams that didn't play as a result of the Bucks.
Yeah, it went very far. Even the NHL, which is not a particularly diverse league, they postponed playoff games. NFL teams and college teams postponed practices. Mm-hmm. Players marched on college campuses. The University of Wisconsin, they have players wearing black W's in their crest, and really sports have it's really changed. For so long, people said that athletes should just shut up and play, and athletes have really made it clear this year that they're not going to do that.
I can see, watching the NFL games, and there's been a lot of the football games now, but the football, NFL football has really taken an aggressive stance, at least in terms of voting.
Yeah, they leagues across the board have really been encouraging people to vote. That was one of the things after players in the NBA decided not to play that day. They met together because they were all in the bubble in Orlando. So players from different teams met and talked about whether they were even going to finish the season. Apparently there was some discussion of everyone just going home and leaving the bubble. But they decided that instead that they were going to ask the owners and league officials to do certain things. And one of those things was to spend more airtime encouraging people to vote. Like I said, the Packers have voting at Lambeau Field today. The NFL is among the leagues that have really encouraged people to get out and vote. A couple actually of Packers legends have made their politics known, with Brett Favre endorsing President Trump and Mike Holmgren, former Packers coach, endorsing Joe Biden. But a lot of them have gotten involved in the conversation. And actually, I believe Barry Alvarez at UW asked teams, of course, the effect maybe isn't the exact same this year with everything going on with coronavirus. There's not as much going on, but he asked teams not to have any team activities today so that players could vote.
Yeah, there's quite a bit of that going on. And as you know, we usually don't talk a whole lot about politics on the show, but obviously it's election day Megan, what are you hearing about from our WPR reporters out in the field?
Yeah, so I'm working this afternoon to help with election coverage, but it sounds, you know, it will be a long day, it sounds like. From reporters in the field, I've heard it's busy, but, you know, it's not packed the way that it was in April for the primary. I covered that here in Green Bay, where we only had two polling places open and people were waiting in line for more than 4 hours to vote, and people were there close to midnight to be able to cast their ballot. So it doesn't seem like things are as tough for voters today, but polling places are certainly busy. I know we've had reporters, a reporter in Madison said that where they've been so far, there weren't really lines. We've had some lines, but it doesn't, you know, nothing too out of the ordinary so far, it seems like. Of course, one of the big differences this year is so many people have voted absentee. So in Green Bay here, the mayor said today that 55% of people have already voted by mail. You know, almost 2 million absentee ballots have been returned. That's according to Megan Wolf, the head of the Wisconsin Elections Commission. So it seems like where the real, where it's going to be really, really busy and active today is going to be at the central counting sites, where they're going to be opening up a lot of those absentee ballots, because in Wisconsin, of course, they're not allowed to begin counting them until 7 a.m. this morning when polls open. So I think you can actually stream Milwaukee's central counting site on YouTube and see what's going on there. And it looks very, very busy. And so, you know, another thing that Megan Wolf from the Elections Commission said is for that reason, because of all those absentee ballots, if we don't have results tonight, it's not because something has gone wrong. It's simply because there are so many votes to count and that, you know, we should trust that they are coming. But it could be early tomorrow morning, it sounds like.
And those votes that are being counted right now, it started at 7 o'clock this morning. Of course, those votes are not public knowledge until polls close, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, so it's not as I believe that's true. It's not as easy to necessarily see how things are trending in Wisconsin as it is in some other states. And I think that there was talk before the election. I think Senator Ron Johnson came out in favor of changing the rule to allow clerks to begin counting earlier. And then there was also discussion whether the Supreme Court ultimately ruled that votes that came in late by mail would not be counted. But it really has seemed to those particular issues. I think this year we really are seeing why they're so important to be able to make accommodations for people to vote other than on election day. And I think one of our reporters even did a story on people who are figuring out how to vote because so many people right now have tested positive for coronavirus, or they've been told to isolate after coming in close contact with someone. And so they're using curbside drop-off and things like that. It really is, people are voting in such diverse ways this year. And you know, hopefully everything will continue to go smoothly today, and those results will be available as soon as possible. But it is a lot to count.
It's a lot to count. I know we have the state of Arizona. They've been keeping, they've been counting right along. So they, when the polls close and they announce, they will have a lot quicker results probably than we'll have here in Wisconsin, just because they've been counting those votes I'm not sure how long, but it's been a while. So they'll be much more caught up than probably we will be here in Wisconsin. Well, Jane Rotunda told me that it's a gorgeous day for democracy. It's a beautiful day out there.
It is a beautiful day.
It's a gorgeous day for democracy. You can get out, enjoy the weather. If you haven't voted, I hope you'll get out and enjoy the beautiful day. Maybe you'll be waiting a few minutes to cast your ballot, but that doesn't matter because you'll have voted, and that's the important thing. And you can tune in. Yeah, go ahead, Megan.
I was going to say, I went out the first day of early voting to interview voters here in Green Bay, and there were volunteers handing out hand warmers. So today is a much nicer day to vote than that. I feel for those people who waited. They waited quite a long time on the first day of early voting, and it was pretty cold, but today is quite nice.
And you can tune in to WPR this evening for special election coverage starting at 6 at WPR and NPR news teams. We'll be keeping you updated on the latest, share results in real time. So keep listening and visit WPR.org throughout the day and tonight as we bring you the latest election news. Megan Hart, thanks. Look forward to our next visit.
Thanks. Bye, Larry.
Bye-bye. And thank you so much for listening. We really appreciate it, and I hope you'll stay tuned. Lots more in store on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mueller.